from Ballymoney in County Antrim, we present Let the Bible Speak. It's good to have you with us today as we spend 15 minutes around the Word of God, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Leslie Curran here, saying hello once again and welcome in the Saviour's name to our program. I'm glad that you've tuned in, and on this Wednesday morning, the Reverend Ian Brown is here to Let the Bible Speak.
Dr. Alexander White, a famous preacher in Fraser and George's, Edinburgh, during the latter part of the last century, used to tell of the time when he went into a solicitor's office and was asked if he had any message for an old sinner. He was staggered by that request. Dr. White repeated a text that he had chosen for his next sermon, which happened to be Micah 7 and the verse 18. He delighteth in mercy. Dr. White was thanked for the only word, the solicitor said, that could have given him comfort. Good morning. I'm Ian Brown, and our theme for today is the wonderful mercy of God. But before we proceed into our subject, let's listen to this wonderful piece of music from Ivan Parker. I've come to the same scripture that Alexander White shared with the solicitor that day. Micah, the chapter 7, the verse 18. He delighteth in mercy. Micah, chapter 7, and the verse 18. He delighteth in mercy. I trust and pray it shall be as effective to your heart, that it'll comfort some, challenge others, and convert all of those who are still in their sins, who at this minute have no hope and are without God in this world. The very fact that Micah the prophet says about God that he delighteth in mercy begs a basic question. The question is this: where is that mercy revealed? Where is it displayed? Where can we see it in full bloom? There are a number of answers to that question. First of all, mercy is revealed in the character of God. In the character of God. The famous English playwright, poet and actor William Shakespeare wrote in one of his plays, The Merchant of Venice, "The quality of mercy is not strained. It droppeth as a gentle rain from heaven upon the place beneath. But mercy is above this sceptred sway. It is an attribute of God himself." I agree with that. Mercy's an attribute of God himself. One of his leading properties or perfections. One of God's chief characteristics. One of the many virtues that he's famous for he possesses mercy to a perfect degree. But we don't really need Shakespeare to tell us that mercy is an attribute of God. Our Bibles, from cover to cover, give fluent and frequent testimony to the mercy that God displays. In Exodus chapter 34, verses 6 and 7, for example, Moses discovered that God was merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin. David in Psalm 62 in the verse 12 acknowledges, "Also unto thee, O Lord, belongeth mercy." In Nehemiah 9 in the verse 17, these lines appear, "But thou art a God ready to pardon, gracious and merciful, slow to anger and of great kindness." Paul describes God in 2 Corinthians 1 verse 3 as the Father of mercies. It's in God's character to be merciful. Mercy is displayed in the character of God. But it's also displayed in the course of God's providences. People criticize God in this world today, accusing him of a total lack of thought and care and compassion. But the fact that God sends rain on the unjust as well as on the just, that he allows the sinner to prosper in this life, that he doesn't lean down over the battlements of heaven and slay man as soon as man commits his first 40th or 40,000th sin, is clear, unmistakable and unshakable evidence of the mercy of God in this world. And what mercy there is when we consider our own sins. That truth really shocked Charles Wesley. He exclaimed, "Depth of mercy? Can there be mercy still reserved for me? Can my God his wrath forbear, me the chief of sinners spare? I have long withstood his grace, long provoked him to his face, would not hearken to his calls, grieved him by a thousand falls." Wesley was astounded that mercy was still available to him. Mercy is revealed in the character of God, in the course of God's providences, and also in the cross of Jesus Christ. That was the supreme display of mercy. That's the peak, that's the pinnacle of it. There is no better, no higher, no more glorious display of God's mercy than here at Calvary. The hymn writer said, "Mercy there was great, and grace was free. Pardon there was multiplied to me. There my burdened soul found liberty at Calvary." Christ Jesus, his person and his work, yes, his work upon the cross, radiated mercy. In Luke 1, verses 77 and 78, we are having our attention drawn to salvation and to remission of sins, and that comes to us through the tender mercy of our God. The clear message that comes from that to us is that we are saved by mercy, not by merit. And so the prophet trumpets out this message in Micah 7 and the verse 18. He delighteth in mercy. What's the most common misconception that man has about God's salvation? Just this. That God saves him because he sees something good, something worthy, something admirable, something meritorious, something deserving of salvation in him. Multitudes cling to that notion, but nothing could be further from the truth. I think of Ezekiel chapter 36 and verse 22, for example. "Thus saith the Lord God, I do not this for your sakes, O house of Israel, but for mine holy name's sake." The testimony of Reverend Robert Murray McShane, that famous and youthful godly minister from Dundee, he died when he was 29, his testimony could be summed up in two lines from one of his most famous hymns, "Chosen, not for good in me, wakened up from wrath to flee." That, I quickly add, is the testimony of every person who has ever been genuinely saved. When John Wesley lay in what many, including himself, thought would be his deathbed, though God spared him some years longer, those who attended to him asked Wesley what were his hopes for eternity. Now, John Wesley could have pointed to all that he had done as he'd wandered up and down the world preaching Jesus Christ. how poorly he'd lived, how hard he'd laboured, the success that had attended his preaching no matter where he went. John Wesley could have mentioned all of these. They're all recorded in church history, we can read about them in book after book, but instead, that man of God said, "My hopes for eternity? My hopes rest only on Christ. I, the chief of sinners, am, but Jesus died for me." Be 100% sure about it today. God saves sinners not for their sakes, not as a result of what merits he sees in them, not because of any goodness that they imagine they have, but wholly and only for his own sake, for his own grace and glory, and on account of his great mercy. In the New Testament book of Titus, chapter 3, the verses 5 to 7, we are told, "Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us, by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Saviour, that being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life." Our Lord has made it crystal clear in this book that not only do our works of righteousness not save us, but that our works of righteousness couldn't save us. Not what these hands have done can save this guilty soul. Not what this toiling flesh has borne can make my spirit whole. Thy work alone, O Christ, can ease this weight of sin. Thy blood alone, O Lamb of God, can give me peace within. He delighteth in mercy. And as Dr. Thomas Guthrie so wisely reminds us, never forget that the magnet which drew a Saviour from the skies was not your merit, but your misery. A mother pleaded for the pardon of her son before Napoleon. The Emperor pointed out that this was the man's second offence. Justice demanded that he should die. "I don't ask for justice," protested that mother. "I plead for mercy." "But," countered the Emperor, "he doesn't deserve mercy." "Sir," cried the mother, "it wouldn't be mercy if he deserved it. And mercy's all I ask." "Well then," said the Emperor, "I'll have mercy." Her son was spared. That gives us a good insight into the meaning of mercy. We talk in preaching terms about grace, and we talk about mercy. Grace gives what we do not deserve. Mercy doesn't give to us what we do deserve. The fact of the matter is today, my sins deserve eternal death. But it's the mercy of God that has caused Jesus to die for me. My hope is that today you'll reach out to Jesus. Reach out to him in your emptiness. Plead for salvation on the basis of mercy. And you'll enter into the wonderful possession of life that's eternal.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, coming from Ballymoney, County Antrim. We count it a privilege to bring the gospel of Christ to you in all its biblical fullness, and I trust that you've enjoyed today's program. If you've been challenged, encouraged, or helped in any way, we'd like to hear from you. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, Ballymoney, County Antrim, BT53 6PE. Let the Bible Speak, Ballymoney, County Antrim, BT53 6PE. Thank you for listening today. We're on the air here on Gospel AM each morning, Monday to Friday at 9:30. So do remember to join us at this time as we let the Bible speak.